every day, Mass is celebrated at St. Dominic's Chapel at the Chancery Offices of the Archdiocese of Atlanta. The following is a recording of today's readings and homily from a previous year.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles.
After Paul's escorts had taken him to Athens, they came away with instructions for Silas and Timothy to join him as soon as possible. Then Paul stood up at the Areopagus and said, "You Athenians, I see that in every respect you are very religious. For as I walked around looking carefully at your shrines, I even discovered an altar inscribed to an unknown god. What therefore you unknowingly worship, I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and all that is in it, the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in sanctuaries made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands because he needs anything. Rather, it is he who gives to everyone life and breath and everything. He made from one the whole human race to dwell on the entire surface of the earth, and he fixed and ordered seasons and the boundaries of their regions so that people might seek God, even perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Since therefore we are his offspring, we ought not to think that the divinity is like an image fashioned from gold, silver, or stone by human art and imagination. God has overlooked the times of ignorance, but now he demands that all people everywhere repent, because he has established a day on which he will judge the world with justice through a man he has appointed, and he has provided confirmation for all by raising him from the dead. When they heard about resurrection of the dead, some began to scoff, but others said, we should like to hear you on this some other time. And so Paul left them. But some did join him and become believers. Among them were Dionysius, a member of the court of the Areopagus, a woman named Damaris, and others with them. After this, he left Athens and went to Corinth. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all you his angels. Praise him, all you his hosts.
Heaven and earth are full of your glory.
Let the kings of the earth and all peoples, the princes and all the judges of the earth, young men too and maidens, old men and boys.
Heaven and earth are full of your glory.
Praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above heaven and earth.
Heaven and earth are full of your glory.
He has lifted up the horn of his people. Be this his praise from all his faithful ones, from the children of Israel, the people close to him. Alleluia.
Heaven and earth are full of your glory.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears, and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason I told you that he will take it from what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of the Lord. We know that Jesus often taught in parables, and often people didn't understand the parables. Even the apostles had to question him, the meaning of the parable about the sower that went out to sow the seed. Parables are simple stories that illustrate a moral or a spiritual lesson. They're not necessarily definitions where things are defined and somehow there's no future reflection upon them. There is need for clarity at time to understand the mystery of what God is doing in our lives, and so we need somebody to guide us to all truth, which is the Holy Spirit. There's a philosophy that's present today in our world, which basically says everything that is that's rationally irrational, that can appeal to our reason, it can be verified as capable of belief. If you can logically prove it or mathematically prove it, therefore it must be justified. This kind of philosophy, which is tends to posit, in the positive sciences, it tends to look at believable things as only things that can be measured in a certain sense by the mind. And so the idea of miracles or God or things like that have no place in this way of thinking. It's just until you can prove it, it doesn't seem to be something worth of our attention. Therefore, the idea of the resurrection may seem to be something that is beyond the belief. And so St. Paul today in the first reading is going to Athens, and he talks about God creating and so forth, and he appeals to the religious sensitivities of the people there, but he's also in the center of what was the philosophical world at the time, where people, you know, thought about great things, but might not have rejected the idea of miracles, or at least if they believed in the gods, they believed in some kind of forces behind things. But today we have the St. Paul having very little success in Athens. It's the fact that it says that people scoffed at his preaching. Others said, well, why don't you come back another day and we'll listen to you about that. But they weren't open to the idea of understanding. For us, we all want personal experience of the risen Lord, not some kind of thing in the past where we say, well, Jesus rose from the dead as if it was a past thing. We actually, in the Easter season, Jesus is risen. Is risen mean that he's there to be experienced by each and every one of us. It's not something that we leave up in the mind, but something we pray that we will encounter the risen Lord. And therefore, our whole life opens up to the possibility of not only thinking about how I'm going to die, but how am I going to live this life now, in the here and now? How is the grace of that's poured out from the risen Lord going to help me throughout my life? And of course, the thing that's important today in the gospel is about that the Holy Spirit will come. And Jesus says, I have much more to tell you, but you can't not bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. So the idea to see deeper into the mysteries of faith is actually a gift of God himself. We must ask for that gift. I don't know what's going on in my life all the time. Maybe you don't know either. But the Holy Spirit will teach us the mysteries of how to not simply put up with things, but how to embrace them and actually see them as transformative. So as we prepare for Pentecost, so tomorrow actually would be in some dioceses, a very few dioceses now in the United States, but maybe four, the Feast of the Ascension. Jesus ascends, you know, to heaven on the 40th day or so, and then they pray for the coming of the Holy Spirit, the coming of the, for 9 days, I think, would be the first novena to the Holy Spirit, and then on Pentecost, you might say. There was no question of rationally think about that, just a question of movement and hope and confidence and joy through the power of the Spirit. So let's pray that the Holy Spirit will give us greater insight and not just leave us with facts or dogmas or things of the past, like Jesus was risen or has risen. He is risen. And so we should try to understand what that means for us through the help of the Holy Spirit in our lives.